Welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We're hoping against hope, we're going to have Mr. Howard Ruff with us. And, of course, I've never met Howard personally, but I've read his material going back to the late 1970s when Howard Ruff was talking about the coming financial problems and talking about the shortage of silver. And, of course, it was at that time we had that great run-up of silver from $1.29 an ounce to over $50 an ounce, and it was really an exciting time. It was then, of course, that the price of gold hit $850, price of platinum hit $1,000 an ounce. It was at that time that they had to raise the interest rates to almost 21% to keep the whole economy from collapsing. It was really an amazing time, and of course Howard was on the front lines of that, putting out newsletters and speaking. And then I didn't hear about Howard Ruff for a long time, but recently he's come back, because I think he recognizes, as do I, that we are once again approaching very similar times. Mr. Ruff, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
All right. Well, why don't you tell me what you think is happening now, and is there any similarity between what we're seeing today and 1979 and 80?
Well, I yield the best. That is deja vu all over again.
All right.
There are many similarities. Of course, there are always differences, and they're substantial, but the similarities are not the same, including Wall Street's behavior relative to them, that I think it's a safe bet that gold and silver have come around again, that the stock market is in a bear market, but there are a lot of differences out there, a lot of other opportunities, like uranium stocks and so forth. But very, very much the same.
All right, fine. Well, we're certainly going to want to cover as much as we can during the hour. Do you have opportunity to get onto a hard line? It sounds like you're on a cell phone, a speaker phone.
I am. I'll take the speaker off. Letitia has tried to call me on my landline a couple times, but she said she got the answering service, wouldn't hear a thing ring. She can give it another try.
All right, fine. I'll ask the producer when we go to the break here in just a moment, in about 2 minutes, to try that landline again. But anyway, I think it's we'll if we have to put up with the cell phone, we'll certainly do that. Well,
I've got the speakerphone off. Does that help?
Oh, that's a big help. Thank you so much. All right, fine. Well, certainly, as we see what's happening, we've been on a paper currency, a totally fiat money currency since, 1971. I mean, actually, we've had a great run for 35 years. Can it continue with the whole world on a fiat money system when we have politicians who are intent upon spending themselves into re-election?
All guys like me generally have a kind of historic look at things, a broader perspective. Most of the gurus on Wall Street have never been through an inflation period like we had in the 70s. They haven't read economic history. They don't realize that the world is littered with dead paper currencies, and that historically, every time that's happened, and it has happened every 50 years or so, people have turned to precious metals as real money. I mean, there's a great mystique about gold and silver. I mean, there's the golden boy, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the silver lining to every cloud, the real symbols of real wealth, and I think that's very deeply embedded in human consciousness, and that's where people turn when they lose trust in their paper currencies.
Oh, you hold the line there for just a minute, and I'm going to have my secretary try to call you once again on the regular phone line. We'll be right back here with Howard Ruff here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Howard Ruff, and Howard Ruff has been around for a very, very long period of time, ever since, I can remember 25 years ago, he was writing on matters dealing with gold and silver. We're entering a very, very difficult times. Now, the average American is totally unaware of the implications of what happens when you are in a fiat money currency, and there is nothing behind it, and the politicians can print all the money they want to, and every time they print a dollar, why, they decrease the value of your holdings. So that today, why, the money that we have, you go back to 1980, We were talking about probably the dollar's worth maybe 30 cents today of what it was at that time. And Mr. Ruff was on the front lines of that. And, of course, we saw that great run-up of silver at that time. Do you think we're going to see another big run-up in silver?
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's there's one big difference. And you, I think you've touched on it about the inflation factor. If remember way back then, silver went to 50 in 1981.
Right.
It rose from under $2 in the early 70s. Over 50. Well, this time, if gold, if silver merely repeated that performance, if you adjust for inflation, you'll see silver over 2100, or you'll see gold over 2100 and silver over over 90.
All right.
And I think the other than that, it's the same. Just the math is different.
All right, fine. But aren't there different sort of silver fundamentals as well? In other words, at that time, there really was no great shortage of silver. You know, there was silver, large silver stocks, you know, in the world. Are there those large silver stocks that today as there were then?
Well, one of the great secrets that I think, once investors figure that out, it's a time grenade waiting to explode. There used to be 50 ounces of silver above the ground in storage for every ounce of gold. That has dropped off to 4 ounces of silver for every ounce of gold. And the market hasn't reflected this. But even back way back then, if you had to choose between gold and silver in a gold bull market, you made twice as much money in silver. Now, I think we're going to do a lot better than that because supply-demand factors are incredible. For example, there's all these newly minted middle class and capitalists in India and China. And they have money to spend. And they have a part of the culture is to spend it on gold jewelry. And when they spend it on gold jewelry, the silver goes up, gold in silver settings. And I think the that demand situation against shrinking supplies, and the supplies are shrinking, can only mean higher prices. That's about as basic a law of economics as there is. For example, the right now, if you were to really look at the fundamentals, you'd want silver.
Hold that thought right now, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Howard Ruff was just saying that basically the fundamentals of silver have changed. You know, it used to be that there were about 50 ounces of silver above the ground for every ounce of gold. Now there are about 4 ounces of silver above the ground for every ounce of gold, and we find in many countries like India. And although he mentions India, I would add China today, that people there have a much different attitude. They don't trust paper money. They're a lot smarter than the American people. And, of course, they want something that's tangible and has inherent value. And many of them, of course, would be turning to gold and silver. In fact, if there's really a large sales of gold and silver, at least gold and silver in both China and India and Japan today, aren't there much larger than before?
Well, I think the perhaps the key is that there's a culture in India and also in the Arab nations that people will oftentimes put their wealth into necklaces of gold or silver and carry them around their neck. And with the exploding Muslim population and the concern for having tangible wealth, that factor I think is going to apply again. But more important than that, right after World War II, in China and India, paper money became worthless. But somehow, almost like magic, clear across that wild country, people started knowing what a silver American dime was worth, a pre-1965 silver dime or quarter. And so that became the coin of the realm. And they, because their currency had collapsed, the yen, the Chinese currency, the Indian currency, they turned to the metals. And that's happened over and over again throughout history, ever since the printing press invented paper money. No paper money lasts forever. None of them do. And they all begin the end very much like we're doing. We're creating money like at a pace that vastly exceeds that of the 70s, which created that big inflation when inflation rates went to 18%, interest rates to 18%. And now it's a whole lot more. Did you know that the Fed has stopped publishing M3, which is the most dependable measurement of dollar amounts?
Well, of course, I know why they say they've stopped publishing it, and that is, it's just so difficult to come up with the figures, which, of course, is a lie.
That's part of it, and they may not want us to know how many they've created. You see, only about 5% of your dollars are actually minted, printed, or coined. They're in cyberspace. They're on the computers of banks. And they're much of it unregulated. Since we gave away the Panama Canal, bank buildings went up all over the Panama Canal zone. So the international banks could run their international currency operations without regulation. And they were promised no regulation, and they don't have any. So they've been exploding. They've been expanding the money supply at rates far, far greater than the 70s, which gave us this fantastic bull market. That's why I think this bull market in the metals is going to be way ahead. Now, I don't know, you might make money in the stock market too, but it will be dwarfed by anything you'll make in silver or gold or in mining stocks. With mining stocks being twice as profitable as silver, and silver being twice as profitable as gold.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you talk about the M3, but don't you think that part of this is they don't want the American people to know what they're doing? And the question is,
They may not want to know themselves. I don't know.
But are they going to inflate the currency, or are they going to contract
the currency? They've been inflating the currency like mad. That's the point. The point is that there is no controls over currency creation. It's done by banks, by multinational banks. And it's also been done by the Fed. And the Fed, which used to really be able to determine the money supply, can't do that anymore. The dollar is an international currency. And then imagine what would happen if well-financed terrorist hackers got into the world monetary system of the banks and killed them. Do you realize that the dollars could disappear like in a flash, in a nanosecond? There are so many things threatening the dollar, but even if those really bad things don't happen, they've already been inflating for years. Now, inflation, let's make sure we understand the meaning of the term. Most people think inflation is rising prices. Well, that's like calling hurricanes falling trees, or falling trees hurricanes. Rising prices are simply a consequence of monetary inflation, increasing the amount of dollars in existence, the amount of whatever currency in existence. And so monetary inflation has been a fact of life for years, but it has not yet reflected itself in commodities that we measure when we're trying to measure the inflation rate. But it did because of the tax laws and the advantages it poured itself into real estate. I think the real estate boom, the inflation that we've seen in real estate prices, is a direct effect of this money being channeled into that channel.
Well, that's the other thing, and of course the very, very low interest rates, which, you know, make it hard.
Well, that's all part of the process, the inflation process, low interest rates. Just think of that as kind of the flip side of money creation.
But of course now, of course, that the interest rates are going up, are we going to see an implosion of this housing bubble? Are we going to see perhaps some of these overly inflated prices begin to fall, or are they just going to stay where they are?
Oh, don't say, will we see it? Are we seeing it? I mean, where you are in Northern California, haven't prices topped out? Aren't the listing books getting thicker? Isn't it taking longer to sell a home? Aren't the big booming prices slowing way down, maybe even stopping and reversing? It's already happening. But the increase in interest rates is going to break the housing market, but not for the reasons that I've been reading about in the Wall Street Journal. The real reason is going to be the fact that people, when interest rates were very low, got sucked into some very creative mortgages, mostly ARMs, mostly adjustable rate mortgages or interest-only mortgages. Now, when interest rates go up, so will their payments. And a lot of people who borrowed to the hilt and spend the money are going to find that they can't make their mortgage payments. And so that, in and of itself, is going to cause a real boom in foreclosures and an absolute screeching halt in new buyers coming at the bottom, which is absolutely necessary to maintain a real estate market. And, like, for example, I live in St. George, Utah. We're in a bubble down here. I mean, I bought a home here that has doubled in price in 4 years. We're moving back to northern Utah that hasn't inflated yet. It escaped the bubble. And I think the essence of the story is that I've been advising my subscribers to refinance with a fixed rate mortgage, or move to because there are other family factors that might work against that. Move to an area in the Midwest or in Texas or northern Utah or someplace like that where you haven't seen these prices boom like this, but. Hey, if you've got a fixed-rate mortgage, it doesn't matter what happens to the price. You still pay your mortgage, and you'll be happy in your home. Maybe you'll be near the grandchildren.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, then you think that the housing bubble is going to implode?
Yes, I do. I do. It will implode. And I think it's starting to implode already.
All right. Now, do you think, then, that the price of gold and silver and gold and silver stocks are going to go up?
Yep, I do. And they have been. They have been for 2 years. I turned bullish in December of 2003 just before I published my last book. And they've done awfully well since then. I mean, gold was under 300 and was now around 535, 540.
Nice. Actually, it's up to 560 today. Now, tell me, how will we know when we've hit the top of the market? How will we know when we've hit the top of the silver market?
Well, it's probably going to be different this time than it was last time, but I think the signs will be quite clear. I put out a sell order about 2 weeks before the peak last time. In fact, silver was only 35 and it went to 50 2 weeks later. Gold was only 750 and went to 850 a couple weeks later. But hey, close is good enough. And I put out the sell signal. Here's why. I put out that sell signal, which incidentally got enough attention, got me on Nightline. Everybody wanted to know why I was so smart. Well, I wasn't that smart. It was just the signs were clear. It was obvious that Reagan, with his tax cuts, and Volcker, with the things they had done with the money supply, had broken the back of inflation. The commodity exchange had broken the back of the silver market because the owners of the commodity exchange, who were investors, were all short silver and they were underwater. The thing was technically insolvent, and they had to kill the Hunt brothers who were trying to corner the silver market. And so I saw those things happening. I thought, man, when those elephants are fighting, we mice ought to head for the underbrush. And so I got us out. I put out a sell signal. And I had so many subscribers at that time that the long-distance calls to Minnesota, to the dealer that I recommended, actually shorted out the whole long-distance system for the state of Minnesota. But the signs were clear. It was Volcker and Reagan and what was happening in the commodity exchange. Now, next time, what will the signs be? I don't know, but I'll be on top of it because I'm staying on top of it. And so I've waited patiently for 22 years for this. I've been bearish on gold and silver. I'm not a whatever the case gold bug, not at all. We made money in bonds at the right time when interest rates were falling. We made money in the stock market. And now I'm betting all, I'm putting all my eggs in the gold and silver basket.
I see. Now, do you think that what are we going to see happening to bonds in the long run here? I mean, certainly, as interest rates go up, traditionally, the bond rate goes down. But
always, and all fixed investments go down when interest rates go up. And I don't care whether it's bonds or whether you're a holder of mortgages or whatever. If you own a fixed return investment, the price will go down. The market price. And whatever you're getting in wonderful interest rates you think are terrific will be lost in capital gains. And consequently, I have my subscribers running, if they're listening to me, if they believe me, running from the bond market now, and running from what was really a good thing at one time that I recommended a few years ago, from the dividend-paying stocks. A lot of money is now moving to dividend-paying stocks, but I think it's just the wrong time. I think dividend-paying stocks are going to be hurt by rising interest rates.
And do you think then people should be going into gold and silver and things of that sort?
What have we been talking about? You bet.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest is Howard Ruff. And Howard's been around for, close to as long as I have, and he certainly was right. Now, back in 1980, I guess it was it 1980 or 1979?
Well, I turned bullish in 75 and then got out in 81.
Okay, fine. Well, he certainly made a reputation by calling the top there, and we'll be back in just a moment here with Howard Ruff. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Howard Ruff. And when we get back, right, Chris, we'll get your address out so people know how to get in touch with you. But right now, is there any specific things that people should be going into? What about uranium? Is that something that's important?
Uranium is going to be a winner and has been a winner for some time. There have been some very smart guys who have been leaders in this, like Jimmy Dines, who was the original gold bug. Now, he's now calling himself a uranium bug, and I think that's right, because one of the nicer side effects of rising gold prices, then there are nicer side effects of rising gas and oil prices and gas at the pump, is that people will be driving less, but the hatred that the environmentalists have for nuclear plants is going to be overwhelmed by the public. I mean, it's, they're worried about global warming. Hey, nuclear plants don't add to this fictitious problem. And I think the uranium companies, mine uranium, have been doing very, very well indeed. If you look at, if you line up the charts of the uranium stocks and the gold stocks and the silver stocks, they're all soaring. I mean, really soaring. And uranium is going to be a big winner because there is going to be a big shortage of uranium for the just to take care of the increased production of power plants, of nuclear power plants. And now I know that France, which is already a big percentage of their electricity comes from uranium, they're putting in several new plants. They've located several plants over there. Now, where are they going to find the uranium?
And, of course, they think somewhere between 78% and 80% of France's power does come from uranium. And we're only about 20%. This was our technology. We developed it. And then, of course, pressure was put on to prevent us from developing it, and the rest of the world is putting them in. We're building, nuclear power plants for the Chinese communists. We're putting up the money or guaranteeing the loans, and our companies are building them, but we can't build them here. It just doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And I think the environmentalists have put themselves in a rock and a hard place, simply by worrying about the effects of uranium, about how dangerous it might be. And especially here in Utah, we're all worried about whether or not we're going to be storing spent uranium. I mean, heck, came out of the ground. Why not put it back in the ground? I think those fears are very much exaggerated. Look, how many people died in coal mines in the last month? A lot, several. So, what, 25, 30, 35? And we haven't seen a single death in the uranium business or in nuclear power plants during that period. It's been an immensely safe source of energy. It's not polluting. It doesn't cause greenhouse gases. It's inexpensive. It's cost-effective. And I think the environmentalists are simply going to have to curl up and go away on this issue.
Well, I think the time has come when we, it's almost as if there's a script, and I think right now, of course, we're seeing the thought beginning to change, and people are saying, hey, maybe we're going to have to get back into the uranium, and we're going to have nuclear power plants, and I think that this is an idea whose time has come. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Howard Ruff, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for him, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Howard Ruff. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. Howard, how can people get hold of you if they'd like to find out about your newsletter?
Well, they can visit my website at roughtimes.com, www.roughtimes.com. And there they'll learn more about Howard Ruff than they probably ever wanted to know. They'll get an idea of what I'm about, because the Rough Times has been around since 1975. I've had over 600,000 subscribers over the years. But it's not just about gold and silver. Gold and silver is the featured investment right now, as is uranium. But I'm writing a newsletter not for Wall Street, but for Main Street, for the middle class. And I think that there's nearly every letter, and I get copies of everything, they're written in jargon to impress Wall Street for some reason. And I don't give a hoot what they about me.
Well, what about the general stock market? I know that you believe in gold and silver stocks and uranium stocks. What about the general stock market? There's some people like Richard Russell who says that, you know, the price of gold and the value of the Dow Jones are going to cross as the Dow Jones drops dramatically and the price of gold rises. Is he way off? Do you think this could happen?
No. And if Richard Russell says it, you better listen. I think Richard Russell is the only guy in our business who's smarter than me. I mean, he's older than I am. He ought to be smarter. And, I mean, I just have nothing but the highest of respect for Richard Russell and his Tao Theory letters. In fact, I quoted from him at some length in my last book. But he's absolutely right. Now, we've been in a bear market in the stock market since the market broke in April of 2000. Now, the problem is that in bear markets, they don't go straight down. In fact, there's usually a time after a few years where they'll rise up and challenge the highs. Well, we're in that period right now. And so if this follows the pattern of the usual pattern of bear markets, you won't see a bottom until the price-earnings ratios have dropped off to the point that you will see the Dow around 4,000 before we're through. So, yes, I do believe. But even if that's not the case, let's say that the stock market remained above 11,000 in the Dow. You'll do a heck of a lot better than gold. You have done a heck of a lot better in gold and silver and the mining stocks than you have been with the big Dow stocks. I mean, even when there's bear markets and stocks, there's always some stocks that are making people a lot of money, and you hear about those. But I can't pick them. I take somebody smarter than me, even smarter than Dick Russell. I don't think he picks sides to pick them either.
Well, I think it's really a very, very difficult thing to do. Somebody once said that, you know, stock market's a good way to make a small fortune out of a large one.
Yes, out of the big one, it becomes a small one. I think the key is to remember that a falling tide lowers all boats. And I don't want to try to pick a winner out of that. I really don't. But really, we're kind of talking about the stock market because the stock market consists of industry groups. The industry groups that I think are going to be by far the biggest winners are gold mining, silver mining, and uranium mining. The mining stocks are going to be terrific. And those stocks which are commodity-based, because we're in a commodity bull market, as we usually are in this kind of inflation environment.
All right. Well, do you think that there is a possibility that we will have a deflation? Certainly, the Elliott Wave people keep talking about deflation. Is that a possibility?
Possible. But what will happen if we do, it will be brief, because they'll try to inflate us out of it. Deflation is horrible. I mean, deflation is the 1930s. Deflation is depression. And so the Fed will turn to get from this inflation fight into fighting deflation, and the only way you can fight it is to inflate our way out of it.
But of course, then you end up with an inflationary deflation.
You end up with an inflationary depression. Like, for example, we had if you remember the 70s, we had a kind of a sick economy, just barely limping along in an inflationary environment. And I think we could see something similar to that. But if we had a major deflation, which is synonymous with depression, well, you'll see the money printing going out of stock. I mean, that would really be a big deal.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. And, Chris, we'll look forward to getting Mr. Ruff to answer your questions. But I believe we're moving into very, very difficult political times, very difficult financial times, and, yes, even very difficult spiritual times. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Howard Ruff. And Howard's been around for a long time, probably a little younger than I am. But he's, he's been quite accurate. And of course, he made his name for himself back in the late 1970s when he called the top of the stock market this top of the silver market and got a lot of people out of it. A lot of people thought it was just going to keep on going forever. Certainly, there were people at that time who were saying, "Oh, it's going to go to a $100, $150." And
well, don't forget, I also got them in at the bottom.
Okay. Well, of course, you tried to get people back into the silver market here, what, a couple of years ago?
I turned bullish on silver and gold in December of 2003. Incidentally, you mentioned before the break that we were in difficult spiritual times. That worries me more than anything. I'm a grandfather of 65. I'm a father of 14. We adopted five kids as teenagers. And in fact, that's one reason why we're moving back up northern Utah, not just the housing prices, so I'd be near my family, which all seems to be centered around there. But I think that they're under a terrific spiritual assault. I really do. And in the final analysis, one of the things that will probably do our economy more harm than anything is the growth of pornography and addicted men who have become totally ineffective in their private and business lives because of this and this debilitating addiction. But that's another subject.
Well, of course, it is a very important subject, and I share your concern. And one only has to turn on television and just see the general thrust of so many of these stories, you know, and they are totally degrading, and they certainly are leading our young people astray, and I'm really very, very concerned.
Well, you know that out of the top 10 selling videos and DVDs, that four of those top 10 are hardcore porn.
No, I really didn't know that, but it wouldn't be a tall surprise. And I think it reflects really the general moral breakdown in our society, and that nobody really wants to talk about. And yet no society has ever survived, you know, moral depravity.
Well, I think that's true in spades. And I worry about my children. I worry about my grandchildren. Heck, I worry about me. I mean, the juices haven't stopped flowing yet, you know, in my life. And sure, we just had a 50th anniversary, and you'd think that maybe I'm immune to that kind of stuff. No, I'm not. I'm tempted like anybody else. In fact, our kids got together and gave us a big party. They concluded that the reason we'd stayed married for so many years, that we had one thing in common. We're both in love with the same man.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Before we go to Tom, though, who's calling, let's go ahead and let's get your telephone number and your address or website if people would like to get in touch with you.
Well, the best way to learn about me or to make contact is through the website. It's www.RoughTimes.com. And there you'll find a whole bunch of stuff about me, about the Rough Times, about my newsletter. And also, you'll find tidbits or highlights of the most current newsletter, which I do every time I publish, which is about every 3 weeks. So you'll have a feeling about what we're talking about recently.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Tom now. Hi, Tom. How are you doing? What part of Colorado do you live in?
Southern Colorado.
Okay. Do you have a question, a comment?
Yeah, I kind of surf around on the net on the Economist websites, and I find these websites that recommend going long on commodities like gold and silver and oil and natural gas. And I just can't believe it because, I mean, these companies are making record profits that are dealing with oil, natural gas, gold and silver. And how can anybody go long on a chart that's way up high, that they're making a record? What you're saying is there's not going to be any type of tie-in between producer costs and price on these commodities. And how can, I mean, all the other commodities seem to have a tie-in between producer cost and the price of the commodity. Why wouldn't gold and silver and oil and natural gas ever come back down to a producer cost level, you know?
All right, well, let's ask Mr. Ruff that. Howard, I don't know if you heard the question, but
I heard the question.
Okay, go ahead.
I heard precisely the same arguments during the middle of the gold bull market in the 70s. How could it possibly, it's so high, how could it possibly go down? I heard that at 400, I heard that at 450, eventually 850 it went to. So the key to solving all that problem is higher price. Now, let's look at the supply-demand situation. During those 22 years when gold was in the doldrums. And I was trying to make money in the stock market and for my subscribers. The gold mining companies were in the doldrums. They weren't making any money. They were producing below cost. So they slowed down production. They stopped exploration. They stopped development. And now that it's high enough, and it is high enough that a decent mining company can make money right now, they're not below producer cost, it'll take them about 7 years to get back into production. That's why the supply-demand factor is going to favor gold and silver for the next several years, and I don't know where you're getting your figures, but I will tell you that gold and silver are now well above production cost.
Well, I know, but would you suggest that Tom get into the commodity market?
Well, if he's talking about futures, I don't want to even opine on that, because that's a high-risk game only for very sophisticated people and professionals. I don't want my subscribers involved in it. But again, remember, I'm talking to them, to the average middle-class guy, maybe the amateur investor. But there's commodities. Gold and silver are commodities. But they're the only commodities that you can buy, that the average guy can buy. For example, you want to buy a bunch of steel and have a truck back up to your door and put a pile of steel on your porch? No, but you can walk down to a neighborhood coin dealer and walk away with $20 worth a roll of silver dimes. You can buy a 1 ounce gold coin for about $550 and $600. So the advantage of gold and silver in a commodity bull market like now is that the average guy can buy it. This is not necessarily for sophisticated investors, and I think that the average guy doesn't think that way. I remember when I was promoting my book that sold 3 million copies and was pushing gold and silver, I was on a radio show or a TV show in Detroit, and I got bawled out by the host for giving all this impractical advice by buy gold and silver. And he began the show by saying, "Now we're going to study psychoceramics, and we have with us a crackpot from California." Well, psychoceramics, great Scott. I came back a year later, and he said, "Now we have one of America's greatest financial advisors. He bought my book, and he bought a bunch of silver, and he tripled his money." So you know, where you stand, I guess, depends on where you sit.
Well, hey, Tom, are you thinking of commodities, or you think of taking physical possession?
Well, I was just looking at the price charts, and I think his recommendation now is super risky, because gold and silver are way above their producer cost. And how we can tell people to buy a commodity that's way above its producer price on a super volatile, the price is set by these exchanges, these commodity, it's like a highly leveraged, what are they called, derivatives exchange or something?
Derivatives have to do with a completely different
futures
situation you're talking
about. Futures market.
Right. Futures market is
very good. Would you want to wait and buy when they're below producer cost and unprofitable?
Well, wouldn't that be the time to buy it, the gold and silver?
Well, sure, the time to buy it was 2.5 years ago when
I
just recommended it.
And
yes, but that just means that would have been better. Right now, we're going to look at today's prices, and 2, 3, 4 years from now, we're going to look back and think that was the time to buy. That was the cheap time.
Yeah,
so everything's relative. You have to look ahead.
That's an amazingly gutsy call, I mean, to sit there and say that. I mean,
hey.
I don't think you're going to be right.
Okay,
you know?
Tom, well, I suggest you not buy anything right now, then. You just don't do it, and then we'll talk a year from now, okay?
Yeah, if you think I'm wrong, go short it.
But, Tom, I happen to think that he's right, but I think that if you don't think he's right, why you'd be very, very foolish to do
short it.
No, the last thing you want to do would be to show him. Well, Tom hung up on me there. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I've been looking over Howard Ruff's shoulder. He didn't know that, but I've been watching him, I suppose, since 75 when he first got started. And I remember when his book came out. I remember his predictions. And I remember his call just about at the top, which is one reason I wanted to get him on here again. So our listeners could hear what he had to say. Now, nobody can be 100% certain of anything. I think that Howard has a pretty good track record, and I certainly feel that if you look and see what's happening, there are a few gold companies can make a profit. In other words, they can mine gold and make a profit on it. The problem is there are not that many mines out there that they're doing it, and there is really a shortfall between supply and demand, isn't there, Howard?
A huge shortfall, and it's getting bigger, and it's going to get worse. For example, look, you go in a furniture store and go to the TV department and look at all those flat-screen TVs. They all use silver. There's going to be an explosion of flat-screen TVs, and TVs which will use high-definition television, they all use silver. Silver is an industrial metal. Now, the one industrial demand used to be film, but now everybody's got digital cameras that don't use silver. But boy, those TV sets do, and silver is a marvelous conductor of electricity, and that's why it should do pretty well even when times are pretty good. But let me get back to this, to Tom's question. There are some mines, and this is kind of like a rolling profit structure in gold mining and silver mining. For example, you can have a silver mine that's making a lot of money right now because they're selling for way above the cost of production. But some mines have high cost of production. But look what's going to happen to the stock when the prices rise past their cost of production. And that's why you start with the high quality mines with proven costs and proven things like for example Newmont or Phelps Dodge, and that's where you start. But eventually you roll into some of the smaller real producers like the Australians, and then you can roll over into production into exploration companies that have proven reserves in the ground but aren't in production yet, but hope to get a big mine to do a deal with them or buy them out or whatever, and then eventually. It rolls over into the holes in the ground surrounded by liars and the cats and dogs. And so what I'm suggesting to my subscribers for the long term is they put a list of these gold mines, these small exploration companies, on the wall and throw darts at them and make your own mutual fund out of the holes. At least 10 of them. Now, you may have to be patient. You have to wait until the costs roll forward above their cost of production and until they're in production. But that's the way to work conduct your investments in this gold and silver market. And that's what I'm going to be teaching my subscribers to do all along the way. I'll say, okay, everybody, let's go heavy into exploration companies. And I'll list them. And then eventually, when the wind blows, even the turkeys fly and the holes in the ground surrounded by liars are the last ones to move. But even they move eventually.
Well, now, what about Phelps Dodge? Is that a good play in gold and silver? Or I thought that was primarily copper.
It is primarily copper, but silver is it's one of the biggest silver producers because silver is a byproduct of copper production. And copper is in a bull market, too. Copper is a really fine investment. And Phelps Dodge is going to do extremely well because it's got that double play. It also has some zinc and some other metals that it produces along with copper, remember. Silver is a byproduct of copper mining, often.
All right, fine. And, of course, you mentioned Newmont. Is that a pretty good, pretty solid?
No, it's the most solid of all of them. It really, truly is. And what you have to watch out for is some of the big mining companies, back when gold was down and in the doldrums for years, they hedged against further falling prices and pledged their production in the futures market. And Barrick is one of those companies. It has, as gold has risen, their position in the futures market is... Their losses have gotten bigger and bigger, and they kind of hide them in their balance sheet. So I wouldn't touch Barrick right now, even though the stock market hasn't figured out that their balance sheet is falling apart because of their hedge position. So they can't benefit from the rising prices. They can all lose money as the metals go up.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I want to mention that I am not a financial advisor. I'm just an observer who's been watching this for a long period of time. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I think that Howard Ruff's probably a very, very smart fellow, and he certainly has done very, very well through the years as far as his advice and his understanding of this. And, of course, the two things that motivate people who get into the market, one is fear and the other is greed. And then the third one probably is ego. And that is, of course, you get wedded to something. You get wedded to gold, you get wedded to silver, you get wedded to something else. And you can't, when it goes into the doldrums, you want to stay with it because you knew where you were right. Do you think that's a real problem, the ego factor?
Well, it depends on what kind of ego. You know, I have a strong ego. I mean, I really do. I know that. I've got a big, strong ego. It's the advisors with fragile egos they worry about. They're afraid to admit when they're wrong because it threatens their egos. Hey, I don't mind admitting I'm wrong. I like to find out if I'm wrong so I can be right now. And so the ego is not a bad problem unless it's fragile ego. Fragile ego won't admit a mistake, and that's why a lot of people hang on to losing positions. They take it personally. I'm going to beat that market. I'm going to beat that stock because can't do that to me. Well, by golly, I think that the key is to admit losses. And see, my record is about 30% of my calls have lost money. About 9% of is the average loss. But about 70% of my calls have made money for an average return of about 23%. So that's the key. That record compares favorably with the best on Wall Street. I think the key is to be willing to admit you've messed up and get out. Because he who refuses to take small losses will take big losses. And that's an ego problem. Now, fear... Yeah, fear drives. I'm betting on fear because fear is going to drive a lot of people into the gold market because gold is bad news bear when things are in trouble, looks like war or currency collapsing or whatever. A lot of people rush into gold, and I'm betting on them doing that. That's going to be one factor in the bull market, and they'll all jump into silver too, with silver being poor man's gold. So that's okay. Fear is going to work for us here. Greed, heck, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think people ought to search for profits. I think they have to magnify what they have as best they can. Now, you can get greed so it's pathological, and so you're afraid to sell when it's the top. Like, I remember I had when I put out the call in 81, I had some people say, I can't sell. I'm within... if gold has to go another $100, I can pay off my mortgage. No, I'm not going to sell. Gold doesn't give a damn about your mortgage. I mean, it really doesn't. And that was when greed got out of control. You have to really control them, but they can be pretty good forces for good.
Well, of course, the thing is that right now, I mean, things were bad in 1978 and 79, because what they did was they financed the Vietnam War with borrowed money. They just didn't have the money. We're going to have guns. We're going to have butter. We're going to have it all. And, of course, they massively inflated the money supply, and then things got out of hand. But the trouble is that really since that time, we haven't had any major correction. Yes, we had the stock market fall in 2000, but, I mean, this didn't decimate the economy. They didn't. They
cut the
money supply. But you think it's going to happen before long?
Yep. Somehow, the average bear market lasts 13 years. Well, we're 5 years into this one. And we haven't even begun to see the bottom. So you're going to see the stocks sick for a long time to come. But if they aren't, I don't really care. I mean, hey, if the stock market limps along like it is now and nobody really loses much or makes much, that's okay with me. We'll be counting our dollars over in the precious metals and uranium markets.
All right, fine. Well, somebody called in and said, what do you sell for when you get to the top? All you're going to get is fiat money, and you're right back where you started. So how do you reply to them?
Just a minute, say that again.
Well, he says that, you know, let's say we get to the top of the market and we're going to sell gold at $2,000 an ounce, but we're going to get fiat money. We're going to get paper money for it, so we're right back in the same pickle.
Well, why not? When the time comes, it'll mean that the paper money may become more valuable, because that's what happens during deflation. That paper money is the thing to own during a genuine deflation. And if the inflation has peaked, And the metals have peaked, that says the best place to be might be in a money market fund.
And, of course, I think that the thing that ordinarily there's a time when you want to be in paper money. And that was, of course, after they contracted the money, as they did in 1980. That was a wonderful time. That was a beginning of one of the greatest stock markets, rises of all time.
Well, I think if you don't think, there are a lot of gold bugs out there who are doctrinaire, and they think paper money's worthless. I've had people say that to me. Well, send it to me. It still has value. I mean, send me your greenbacks. I'll be happy to recycle them. Now, gold and silver are interesting in that they really have three purposes in my investments, in my recommendations of metals. First is insurance. You need some silver coins. You need a bag of silver coins on hand to protect you in a worst case. If it got to the point where people didn't trust the paper money, didn't want to take them, hey, a silver dime might be worth a lot of money. It might be worth a lot of goods and services. So you want some as part of your insurance policy. And that the nice thing about that is it's not like insurance where the premium is gone forever. You can possibly, if you only have some mild inflation, it's a profit, sell for a profit. The second reason...
Howard, I think we're out of time, but thank you so very much for being with us. We're going to have to let you go.
Okay, well, it's been nice chatting with you.
Oh, well, we've got just a couple of minutes here. Why don't you go right ahead with what
you're saying? The second reason for gold is to have a gold backing for currency. So the currency is a surrogate for gold and is convertible into gold. That's the second reason. But neither of those reasons are good reasons to invest in gold. Gold as an investment is just that. You have to treat it as an investment, mining stocks investment, silver as investment. And that, we waited 22 years for that to happen when it was a lousy time to be in it. I know a lot of people who are doctrinaire gold bugs were in these things. And just because of their doctrine, their doctrinal position. Not me. I only want what works. My job is to help my people multiply their fortunes. And so now the time to multiply the fortunes is in gold and silver. All of the forces are in place again. All of the factors are there as they were in the 70s and even more so.
All right, and I certainly agree with you, and I think it's going to be important that people understand that we have a real financial problem, not only in the United States, but really throughout the world, because almost the whole world is on a...
Well, remember, those dark clouds have silver and gold linings.
Yeah. Now, what about this, Switzerland? And are there any European banks that have gold backing for the currency?
Well, if you have your money in a Swiss bank, you can denominate it in gold if you want, or silver. I mean, that's your choice. Swiss franc has pretty good gold backing if you make it in Swiss francs, or you can simply denominate it in the metals. You have your options wide open with the Swiss bank account. That's probably true of some of the other small countries that have become currency havens in recent years. But right now, you know, I had someone once ask me, in fact, it was on Wall Street Week, why didn't you recommend the Swiss franc during this time? Because we made plenty of money in gold and silver. We didn't need the Swiss franc. We did just as well.
How about now?
Right now? Well, I say keep it simple. The average person really needs to put his money where he's liquid, where he could go down to his current coin dealer and walk away with his greenbacks if he was so inclined, rather than having to deal with the complexities of investing abroad.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you very, very, very much for being with us, and I hope we can get you on again here in 6 months or a year, get your wisdom so that we can keep our listeners.
Okay, just check out my website, www.roughtimes.com.
All right, God bless, and thanks very much.
And thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Howard Ruff of the Ruff Times. Been around for a long time, got a lot of good, solid advice, but ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into very, very difficult and very dangerous financial times. And this is the time, in my estimation, for you to get as much knowledge as you can and then act. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners of Radio Liberty. It really is primarily listener supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree that we've got some real problems, and that you'd like to help us as we reach out across America trying to educate people not only about the physical and the financial problems, but also about the spiritual problems that are energizing this whole thing. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, we do have a DVD. It's called The Coming Financial Crisis. And then, of course, we have a pamphlet that goes with that, an inexpensive pamphlet. It's called The History of Money. You need to know the history of money. You need to know what Aristotle said, what Sophocles said, or what Plato said. I mean, they faced the same problems. It was Plato who said there's absolutely nothing wrong, or pardon me, it was Aristotle who said there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Nothing wrong with it as long as you have perfect authority. But of course, that doesn't exist in society. And Aristotle witnessed the destruction of Athens and of ancient Rome because of irresponsible financial policy. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing new under the sun. Let me suggest my DVD, The Coming Financial Crisis, and then, of course, our pamphlet that goes with it. The book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which I think is the best single book we carry on that subject. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, by rather inexpensive book by Professor Sutton. The video, The Monopoly Men. And then, of course, we carry a book called Fiat Money, Inflation in France. We carry two books by Professor Sutton. Gold for Investment, Gold for Security. And then, of course, we certainly hope that many of you out there will want to understand the spiritual forces behind that. That's, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which you should read. We now have the DVD, Brotherhood of Darkness, available. And we certainly recommend that, or the video. It gives you the overview of the spiritual forces working behind the scenes and what energizes this whole move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion, and why the Bush administration is determined to take us into a war with Iran and with Syria. And when you get into the background, it all makes a lot of sense. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get our little pamphlets, the three of them, called The Occult Hierarchy. That's The Occult Hierarchy. We'll give you the background of these organizations working behind the scenes, and the secret societies they come from. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are secret societies. And you can go up on the Internet now and go to the OTO, or the Rosicrucians, or the Theosophists. You can even punch in the occult hierarchy, and you'll find people who are part of these secret societies talking about them openly. We carry a number of books written by people who are part of the other dimension, who are in contact with beings from the other dimension. And certainly, we carry Mandy P. Hall's The Secret Destiny of All Ages, his book The Secret Teachings of All Ages, his book The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. And, of course, one of the new books we're carrying is written by Wayne Peterson, who is a very high government official, worked in the Fulbright scholarships and handing those out. And, of course, he was recruited into this whole movement by the richest man, one of the richest men in the world. And, of course, his book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings, and he and his friends are waiting in Henderson, Nevada for the return of the world ruler. But not the world ruler that we wait for. Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. You need to understand what this is really all about. There is a spiritual dimension, and we're engaged in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. So we ask you, of course, to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and to pull down our newsletters. Certainly you can copy them. You can listen to our programs free. You can listen to the archives. You can get the MP3. That's all without charge, because we do hope you want to support us. But the major thing is to get the information out. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty.